Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you were blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
For there's no one else like you, who is faithful ever to. 'Cause all my love, my life is a testimony. Only you are. To loneliness.
that you're no stranger to pain. It's in my loneliness. Father, here I come. I lay my burdens down, knowing that you'll take me as I am. So I come with freedom as your child, and I run into your arms. My heart is aching for my Father. My eyes, they long to see my God. This world has nothing I desire. You are what I'm looking for. Hide me underneath your shelter. Cover me and I will save my heart. My heart is aching for my Father. My eyes, they long to see my God. This world has nothing I desire. You are what I'm looking for. Hide me underneath your shelter. And cover me and I will say, I am yours. Surely I am yours. I'm falling on my knees, offering Jesus, you're all this heart is living for. I'm falling on my knees, offering all of me. Jesus, you are this heart is living for. So I wait for you. So I wait for you, yeah. So I wait. Jesus, your Lord's heart is living for.
Romans 8, verse 35 says, who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Thank you.
they're still ministering. There's a few things that I know the Lord wants me to share this morning. Today was to be about being confident in the love of God. And what does that mean, to be confident in His love? I want to read something to you. Of course, that last scripture really helped in that area, but I want to read something to you about the Azusa Street Revival. And I want to share with you that we know that God's going to pour out His Spirit in a powerful way, even more than it's ever been poured out before. We also know that in the Azusa Street Revival was the beginning of the movement of the Spirit in a powerful way since the day of Pentecost. So I'm going to read out of this book. Where it's described a little of what was taking place. And I know that wherever God begins to move in a powerful way, no matter where it is, whether it's here or somewhere else, or in this region, or in California, or in Florida, or who knows, I do know this. I believe that you can say this is a sure word, that wherever it happens, it's going to be cultivated by broken people. It's going to be cultivated by people of humility that have allowed God to really break them. It's going to be cultivated by people that have no agenda whatsoever or itinerary of their own ministry, but what God is doing and how God is speaking. To share a little bit more about love, you ever have a paper plate moment? I had a paper plate moment this morning, and I wrote this down, and I believe it has a lot to do with all of us. It says, in order to enter into our destiny, we must define who we are, where we are going, and why. To maintain a direction to fulfill our personal destinies in God depends on being defined by His love and being confident in the love of God. Wherever the Lord is leading you on your personal destiny or your calling, whether it be a ministry, an individual, or a family, it's going to be defined by the love of God. Because the love of God is what needs to define us. There's nothing greater than His love. Can you get some air on in here, Josh? I don't know if it's on, but man, it is. Maybe it is hot in here. All right. So let me read this and see the characteristics in this. The former mission, this is where Azusa Street, the former mission was once used as a livery stable and had a dirt floor. Many remarked when they visited Azusa Street that the Lord Himself had been born in such a place. The rent was only $8 a month, and the building could hold as many as 900 people. Even so, services were soon continuing almost around the clock to handle the crowds that came because of the movement of God. Meanwhile, the little group at Bonnie Bray had been tarrying also earnestly for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And on April 9th, the Spirit had come to them in a similar way as it did on the day of Pentecost. Bonnie Bray was attending that meeting in the New Testament church and began to speak in tongues, creating a great stir. Similar to the first Pentecost, people gathered in little groups on the sidewalk after the service inquiring what this might mean and what it's all about. Of course, you know about William Seymour, who he was, and a praying, fasting man of God. What had begun as a spark with Charles Perham now leapt into open flames, eventually capturing the attention of millions around the world and quickly spreading to every recognized nation on earth. Now listen to this. A humble little prayer group led by a one-eyed former sharecropper was the seedbed. William Seymour was the seedbed for the dawning of this new age in Christianity. When Bartleman heard of it that Sunday morning, he went to Bonnie Bray immediately. And then he later wrote this little word. And this was what was written about that moment and that time of the Azusa Street Revival. He wrote this: "We had been praying for many months for victory. Jesus was now showing himself alive again to so many. The pioneers had broken through for the multitudes to follow. There was a general spirit, listen to this, a general spirit of humility manifested in every meeting. They were taken up with God. Evidently, the Lord had found the little company at last. Outside, as always, through whom he could have his way." The love of God causes you to have his way. God had not chosen an established mission where this could be done. They were in the hands of men. The Spirit could not work. Others, far more pretentious, had failed. That which man esteems had been passed by once more, and the Spirit born again in a humble stable outside the ecclesiastical establishments. And this is what I believe the Lord is saying through all the words that people were giving me this morning and speaking. This one paragraph: a body must be prepared in repentance and humility for every outpouring of the Spirit. Let me read that again. A body must be prepared through repentance and humility. And however God's doing this thing and how he will do this thing in the future, it's going to be through that venue, through humility and through repentance, turning away. Now I want you to know that the love of God is how every one of us should be defined, that you are a lover of God first and foremost, not one who struggles with sin and you're defined that way. Man, all I do is struggle. No, you're a lover of God first, and then you deal with your struggles, because we all have struggles, right? But don't let your struggle or your sin define you. Don't let it happen, because you are new. You are alive in Christ, according to Romans 6. And embrace that and know that. And I felt like the Lord was saying that this morning, people need to know how much I love them, that they're not defined in those areas, that they're not saying, okay, it's too late, I've blown it, I've messed up too many times, it's over. Know that you run to him and let the love of God begin to bring you into that identity once again of who you are in Christ. It's such a simple message. But again, can we walk in our destiny? Can we walk in our vision? Corporately or as families or individuals, if we're not defined by the love of God, and that's where we get our definition. See, the Lord calls you and I his beloved. We are his beloved. The Father loves you like he loves Jesus. You remember his words when it was thundering. "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." God is viewing you and I through the eyes of love, not through the eyes of condemnation and sin and struggle. Does he want us to get free? Absolutely. And so what is he doing? Even last Sunday, We started the service last Sunday just with God's presence, and we just lived in that place. I have a hard time sometimes defining intimacy with God because there's so many facets of intimacy with God. When you get in His presence, that's that moment, you know. Or how about His Word? How about His Word, His living Word? And you get intimate with His Word because it's life, and it begins to set the course of your life each and every day because you love the Word, and He loves the Word, and He is the Word. And it's not a drudgery, but it's a joy. He's the living Word. Do we need to walk in our authority? Absolutely. But how do you walk in your authority? Through love. Because you'll get your authority distorted if it's not in the place of love and humility. All of a sudden, it will creep in, and you think it's about you. It's all about Jesus. It always will be. Oh, man. Did I say that statement? I think I did. Yeah. I'm not finished, though. The body must be prepared in repentance and humility for every outpouring of the Spirit. The preaching of the Reformation, listen to this, was begun by Martin Luther in a tumble down building in the midst of the public square in Wittenberg. In the middle of the square at Wittenberg stood an ancient wooden chapel, 30 feet long and 20 feet wide, whose walls, propped up on all sides, were failing and falling into ruin. An old pulpit made of planks and 3 feet high received that preacher, Martin Luther. It was in this wretched place that the preaching of the Reformation began. It was God's will that which was to restore His glory should have the humblest surroundings. It was in that wretched enclosure that God willed, so to speak, that His well-beloved Son should be born a second time amongst those thousands of cathedrals and parish churches with which the world is filled. There was not one at that time which God chose for the glorious preaching of eternal life and the Word of God being presented than that fallen down chapel. This should be a sobering time for us. God is wanting to move in your life. He is moving. He wants to move more. He wants to do it by His Spirit. Like most of the great moves of God in history, when the great Pentecostal revival began, very few understood the true significance of what was happening, including those who had been used to prophesy its coming. It did not start as a large mass movement, but as a little prayer meeting. This is a part of the wonder and the awe of being a Christian. He shows up with you probably just in the weirdest times, doesn't He? And in the moments that you just least expect it. And all of a sudden, He's got your attention. When we are relating to Almighty God, the one who created the world with a word, anything upon which He decides to breathe can have consequences far beyond any human comprehension. Denny's been speaking a lot to us about human comprehension, that we've got to get rid of it and stop it and let the Spirit of God and the love of God apprehend us. Since He is God, He can take the most humble prayer meeting and use it to shake the world. Because He delights in using the humble. He delights in using the humble, the weak, and the foolish. A simple meeting can have historic consequences. We must never doubt the potential of even the most humble gathering of those who know Him. If just two can agree together, anything is possible, right? Whenever two or more gather, He will be there in our midst. Oh, I could keep reading. O Well, what if God is choosing to use a few of us, many of us, to begin to change the direction of the return and the generation of His return? What if God has deposited things in us that we've allowed the accuser of the brethren to annihilate, and we set it down and no longer believe or have the faith that's necessary through love to walk out our destiny and calling? What if we reach a certain age and say, oh, it's all for the young people? What if we're so young we say, what's the use? You know, God's wanting to change every destiny in this place today. Every one of you. He's wanting to make you lovesick lovers of God. He doesn't want to make you religious. He doesn't want you to join a certain denomination. He just wants you. And He wants you so bad that you'll begin to burn with His fire. And you won't need a youth group. Not that that's bad, it's good. You won't need children's ministry. Not that that's bad, that's good. You won't need all those meetings that we think are necessary in order to be a family that's on fire for God. You'll realize all I need is the residing presence of the fire of the Holy Spirit in my life daily and in my family, that all things are possible with God. That doesn't mean that, oh, we've missed it. It just means we're being prepared for it. Then he said, gave me an amen. That amen was, that's exactly right. So don't be bored. Let Him ignite your life. Let Him change you. Let Him annihilate your opinions or your thoughts of how things should be. And when you get in that place, stay humble and let Him lead you by the Spirit. Because you can begin to try to go against the grain in any church or any group, and the next thing you know, you're in a place of rebellion and you're cynical. You see, that's why the word humility is so important, and the love of God. It's the love of God that's going to sustain you. I love how God orchestrated this day. I just love it. I guess we're going to take an offering. David Raymer, come on up here and take an offering. And do I have time to preach, or is it after 12? It's after 12? Okay.
Still got time.
Still got time. You know, my joy is in the Lord, no doubt. And I just got to tell you, when one of you just get touched a little bit, it just, oh. Yeah, if I just know that one of you today, God moved your heart closer to His heart, that's intimacy, you know, that your heart is ignited by His heart. That just makes, that makes this whole meeting worth it. Just one person got a little closer to Jesus. I don't want you all to pout. I want you all to shout. Come on now. I'm serious. Shout about the goodness of God and let people know it. Rise up, woman of God. Rise up, man of God. Rise up. And let the love of God just have its way.